Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
G'day, g'day, Tradies in Business tribe.
Sometimes I feel like you start with g'day, g'day, or hello, or whatever to grab my attention because it's wandered off just briefly while I wait for you to hit record.
What?
Exactly.
How are you, listeners? I realise that Tradies in Business tribe, no, that's TIBT. It's not TIT. That would have been childish.
I hate the whole concept of a tribe.
Really?
I do. I'm sorry. We're going to have to find another way.
I want to like dance around the fire and...
No, I don't want to know what you do in your personal time, Warwick.
Wear my loincloth.
No.
Was in a loincloth. Well, you'd be excited to know, Coxie.
I won't be excited to know anything about was in a loincloth.
Well, I don't have a loincloth, but I did buy some cycling attire that my wife said. This is my wife's words. It looks okay, but do not ever let anybody in public ever see you wearing that.
I love that.
It needs to be covered up at all times. So there you go. And use your imagination to wonder what the heck was bought.
Here's a tip. Here's a friendly tip from Nicole, the co-host at Tradies and Business Podcast. Don't use your imagination. Just let that one slide right through.
Go on.
And focus on something else.
You know you want to.
I really don't.
I can make it cover my nipples.
You know I don't want to. You know I don't care. We'll hark back to Friday's episode.
Yeah. But this is not a Friday episode, so we're not going to use naughty words. It's a family show.
It is
so much a family show that we're going to talk, I don't know, there's nothing really to talk that's family oriented, but we're going to talk about marketing, Coxie.
I think your kids will be bored, so
yeah,
might put them to sleep. Maybe this is how we help families, by putting your kids to sleep. It's boring conversation.
Well,
actually, marketing isn't boring conversation, but I'm sure to children it would be.
Marketing is a tricky one, you know, because a lot of people claim to know a lot about marketing, and in my 20 years odd in business and paying lots of money to marketers and agencies and you know, like marketing platforms, you know, Facebook, Google, Yellow Pages, all that sort of stuff over the years, I don't feel like there's a very high percentage of them that actually know what is going on.
It's a big call, Warwick.
And that's just based on my own experience. I mean, I can only go on that. There's probably some fantastic marketers out there. Maybe there's some cracking marketing strategies. Hey, if you listen to some of the gurus, they've got the secret 7-step formula to 10Xing your marketing returns.
I literally just Googled the word marketing so that I could come at you with some fantastic facts.
Come at me, sis.
I will, but what do you think jumps up first? Seven steps of marketing.
No way.
Four types of marketing strategies. Five marketing concepts.
It's
terrible.
It's just, it's one of those industries. And that's not to say that the whole thing is a sham. But I think a lot of business owners get a bit confused and befuddled by what should I be doing in my business.
It's no wonder they're confused. Let me read this statement to you. So Wikipedia says that marketing is a field of study. Marketing is profitability using the results of studying short-term and long-term needs of those who can pay for a one-time or in most cases a steady flow of service or product placement. What the hell? Put more concisely, I would suggest that marketing is the art of telling stories so enthrallingly that people lose track of their wallets. I like that one.
That's awful.
That's what marketing is, apparently. Or here's another one. Marketing is the activity set of institutions and processes for creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for clients, customers, partners, and society at large. No wonder we're confused.
Well, the grandfather of marketing was actually Sigmund Freud's, nephew.
It was younger. Yes, you're right. They were related. Very interesting.
And so Freud was psychologist and, you know, basically big on human psychology and what makes us tick. And so marketing really just comes from that. Marketing is all about human psychology and how and why people make choices about things, really.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. And so Freud worked out, I think in the 1800s or something, or early 1900s, like it's not that old, worked out that if they could tap into the human frailties, essentially, they could sell more shit. Whoops, yeah. I just said a naughty word on a Tuesday episode.
I think we're allowed to say that one.
So that's really the premise of everything we see now on billboards and social media and television and brand-funded entertainment. You know, watch a movie or a Netflix program and tell me how many logos and brands you see sprinkled throughout the program. And there you have some more marketing. It's just, you know, if a cool person is using a particular branded laptop or phone or driving a particular kind of car, like those companies pay big bucks to get their products placed in quote unquote entertainment. And so that's all marketing, because we see that and go, oh, well, if they've got it and they're cool, then if I have that, then I'll be cool. And that is how our brains work.
Hence the rise of influencers.
Yes, the influencer. Oh, one of my favorite things, Coxie. Sorry, excuse me.
So my son's actually creating an entire business around influencer marketing. That's how big this has become, particularly now. Remember, he's 18, so his generation is very different to ours. Uh-huh. But his entire business is based around influencer marketing, which I find to be mind-blowing, yet to see whether it'll work, but he's going to give it a crack.
Yep. And it's all about... Well, okay. So this is a big generalization. We did an episode about generalizations recently, so I need to be a bit careful here. So I'm making a generalization. Marketing largely is about tapping into people's fear that they're not enough.
Yes.
They don't have enough. They're not sexy enough. They're not wealthy enough. They're not funny enough. They're not fit enough. Whatever. Their kids aren't performing well enough. You name it, there's a not enoughness to just about every product. Geez, I'm finding it hard not to get sweary out there in the marketplace. Now, as a trade business, here's the irony and the paradox in all of this. You can actually use all of that to support you in your business. And I'm going to make the sweeping assumption that if you're listening to this, you're going to use marketing for good because you're a good person. You're a good business. You do a good job. You solve people's problems in the trade that you're in, and you deliver value to your customers. Now, if that's the framework that you're listening through, I'm okay for you to use marketing to get more clients. If you're a cowboy and you're ripping people off and being disingenuous and you don't care about your customers, I hope you never understand marketing because that's not fair on consumers. So assuming you're doing this for good and you're a good person and a good business and you deliver value, marketing is just about you actually showing that people can be more if they use your product or service.
Mm. It was a big part of what we did in the construction company. So it came right down to how we dressed, the car we chose to drive to the appointments to meet the clients, to how we presented on social media, to the style of conversation we had, to where we hung out and shared, to everything, I guess, that we showed of ourselves within our business. That's marketing. It's all encompassing. It's not just a Facebook ad.
No.
It needs to be the entirety of your company.
And that's, I guess that's a bit of what's going on with influencer marketing. It's just the next expression of people wanting to be like someone else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I want to be more like the mountain biker that I saw shredding on a YouTube video. So he's running a particular kind of pedal on his bike. So I'll go get the same pedals because they must be good because they help him ride better. Or his brand of bike or the sports drink that he has, you know, like it's what it really comes down to. So, you know, people take a lot of pride in their houses and their yards, and it's a big public signal for our own worth, sadly, in a lot of cases, but that's the reality. And you're in business listening to this. So you kind of either need to get with the program when it comes to marketing, or you're going to get left behind.
Can you remember back in the 60s? Well, I actually don't physically remember the 60s. I was not yet born, but we see a lot of really interesting marketing. It really started to shift. I'd say the 50s and 60s marketing really changed, and they began to talk about, and I'm probably thinking of home-based marketing. So I'm thinking about appliances. I'm thinking about food. I'm thinking about the groceries you use in and around your home, even garden stuff and the house stuff. They started to talk about Mr. and Mrs. Jones and keeping up with the Joneses. There was a real shift in the way marketing began to be presented. And maybe that coincided with television or the way the stories were told on the radio. I guess it was a bit of a golden era through that time. But that shift came in that it really was the first wave of influencer marketing. Mr. and Mrs. Jones, let's keep up with the Joneses. Let's do what they're doing. Why should you have dishpan hands when you can have a dishwasher? Or why should you hurt your back leaning over to, you know, scrub the floor, use this mop or vacuum or whatever it might be? Very much there was a comparison. That's what the marketing was all about. Now, that can be done in a really positive way. Or it could be done in a negative way, very similar to what you were just saying. So we talk all the time about not comparing yourself to the competition, but advertising your value, talking to the pain points, how you're going to solve them. Marketing is a really big opportunity to tap into the emotion of your client or your potential client, understanding what they're frustrated by, what they're upset by, what they're scared about, what their not enoughness is, tapping into that, speaking to those things. And that's how you then make the connection with them to want to come work with you moving forward. Whether it be on a small emergency plumbing job because suddenly there's water flooding in my house and I need somebody I can trust to come do it straight away that won't rip me off, because unfortunately that's the way consumers think, or whether it be somebody that I want to spend $1 million with to build me my beautiful palace that I've always wanted to own. Mm-hmm. The marketing in either way needs to be similar, or the basics of the marketing needs to be similar, and you're still meeting an emotional need for those people that you're selling to. Crazy to think.
Yeah, and you've hit one of the key words, Coxie, is emotion.
Mm.
It's understanding people's emotions. You know, I mean, really, that's what the whole not enoughness thing is about. It's an emotion, or it's an emotional response we have to a value or a disparity in values. So, I guess to bring this to something of a point, when we start talking about, well, which marketing should I be doing in my trade business? A lot of the time, I feel like that question gets asked with us looking at our business, looking at our product or service. Like, well, which marketing works for a plumber? And it's like, looking at you and your own business and the service that you provide isn't going to tell you which marketing works for a plumber. What you have to do is look outside, look outwardly, and look at your customers, look at the people that you want to do business with, look at the area that you're working in, look at the other businesses that you're competing with, and understand more about those things. That's why Coxie and I bang on about the client avatar. We don't do a business avatar. We don't do a plumbing avatar or a builder's avatar. We do an avatar, which is all about your customer, because your marketing needs to speak to other people. And I don't care if you don't like social media listening to this. If you're one of those people who's like, oh, was social media, I hate social media, I'm not doing anything with Facebook. It's like, well, I don't actually care. If I'm your coach and mentor, then bad luck. Get over yourself and understand that your customers largely, most of them are on Facebook. So if you want to market your business, you got to think about that. Now, I'm not saying Facebook is the best marketing strategy for a builder or a plumber or any other trade. It might not be relevant for you. And we've got plenty of examples of members who are crushing it with strategies that most businesses don't even give a second look to and don't actually cost a hell of a lot of money. It's been some fantastic conversations in our boards lately about a particular marketing strategy that has nothing to do with online. And in fact, it's actually getting people some pretty good connections and getting winning them some business. So you have to be willing to look outwardly. That's terrible English, Woz. You gotta look outward.
Normally it's me with the terrible English.
Instead of inwards. And that's how you know what the best strategy is for you, is by understanding your clients and their emotions and their values and their fears. And look, good marketers will talk about this stuff a lot because marketing is really just about human psychology and human emotions.
And guess what, listeners? I'm sorry to break it to you. There is no silver bullet. There is no one single strategy that is going to work for you 100% of the time.
And that's why, Coxie, because every human is different. Every suburb is different. Every faction or group or minority or majority has different preferences, different emotions about things. And so every trade business is dealing with different people. I mean, I have different kinds of friends to you, thank goodness, because you'd be a bit scared if you had the same friends as me. But my friends have similar interests to me. Now, if you want to deal with me and my friends as a business, you need to understand me. Understanding Coxie is not really going to help you, although we do have a lot in common, obviously. But my next door neighbor has a completely different set of interests and values to me. You know, I mean, the fact that he lives in a $750,000 house is testament to that. A couple of fancy cars in the driveway. You know, kids go to the number one private school in the area. And I have a 30-year-old Land Cruiser that I'm very proud of. You know, we grow our own chickens and eggs. My daughter goes to an independent school. But you would think that just because we're in the same street, that we're potentially going to be the same customer for a plumber or an electrician or a roofer or whatever. And if you go in there on that premise, you're going to miss one of us with your marketing because it's not going to appeal to us. And if you want to deal with old mate across the road, and you're pitching your marketing at me because you think that's who is going to buy your stuff, then you're going to miss my neighbor and he might actually be your target market. So that's where, you know, what's the best marketing strategy for a plumbing business? The one that speaks to your customers, the one that taps into your customers' emotions. Don't know what their emotions are? That's the first thing you need to do. And then you can actually boil it down to the three or four marketing strategies that are going to be best for you.
Now, we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper. On Wednesday, the 28th of October, we have decided that we're going to run a marketing webinar for trade businesses. If you are interested in joining us, we'd love to see you. We love running a good webinar. Actually, we won't get to see you. You'll just get to see us. But you'll be in a room with a whole bunch of other cool tradies who are keen to learn more about how to market their trade businesses. Wednesday, the 28th of October at 3:30 p.m. Daylight Savings Time. You can find all the details over on the events tab on our Facebook page. It will be our October webinar, totally free, obligation free. We're not asking you to join. It's not a sales tool. It is actually just about giving you an opportunity to learn more about how to market your trade business. We'd love to see you there.
And I guess, Coxie, we're going to demystify a bit of the whole, well, which marketing strategy is best? Because there is a way to know.
Well, there is. We've got a few tricks up our sleeve. No silver bullets, but a few tricks.
No, and you know, there's hard work involved and some tough decisions, but we'll help cut through the noise, I guess, of everything that's floating around online and all the different opinions, and actually skill you up so you can figure that out for yourself without just going, oh, well, I read that I should be doing this. Like, really? Based on what? what's the method or the process that you use to actually make that decision. So that's what we're going to hopefully teach you. Coxie's given you the dates and how to find that. Make sure you get on board with that one. And apart from that, as always, have a fantastic day and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening.
Uru.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.